else I intend to do with you. It seems you have all increased your ability to channel remarkably since you left the tower. You have learned much, including some things, she added sharply, that I intend to see you unlearn. Nynaeve surprised Egwene by saying, I know we have done things we should not have, Mother. I assure you we will do our best to live as if we had taken the three oaths. The Ammerlin grunted. See that you do, she said dryly. If I could, I'd put the oath rod in your hands tonight, but as that is reserved for being raised to Aes Sedai, I must trust to your good sense, if you have any, to keep you whole. As it is, you, Egwene, and you, Elaine, are to be raised to the accepted. Elaine gasped, and Egwene stammered a shocked, Thank you, Mother. Lyanna shifted where she stood. Egwene did not think the Keeper looked best pleased. Not surprised, she'd obviously known it was coming, but not pleased either. Do not thank me. Your abilities have gone too far for you to remain novices. Some will think you should not have the ring, not after what you've done, but the sight of you up to your elbows in greasy pots should mute the criticism. And lest you start thinking it's some sort of reward, remember that the first few weeks as one of the accepted are used to pick the rotting fish out of the basket of good ones. Your worst day as a novice will seem a fond dream compared to the least of your studies over the next weeks. I suspect that some of the sisters who teach you will make your trials even worse than they strictly must be, but I don't believe you will complain, will you?
I can learn, Egwene thought. Choose my own studies. I can learn about the dreams. Learn now to...
The Ammerlin's smile cut off her train of thought. That smile said nothing the sisters could do to them would be worse than it needed to be, if it left them alive. Nynaeve's face was a mixture of deep sympathy and horrified remembrance of her own first week as one of the accepted. The combination was enough to make Egwene swallow hard.
No, Mother, she said faintly.
Elaine's reply was a hoarse whisper. Then that's done. Your mother was not at all pleased by your disappearance, Elaine.
She knows,
Elaine squeaked. Lyanna sniffed, and the Ammerlin arched an eyebrow, saying, I could hardly keep it from her. You missed her by less than a month, which may be as well for you. You might not have survived that meeting. She was mad enough to chew through an oar, at you, at me, at the White Tower.
I can imagine, Mother,
Elaine said faintly. I don't think you can, child. You may have ended a tradition that began before there was an Andor, a custom stronger than most laws. Morghaes refused to take Elida back with her. For the first time ever, the Queen of Andor does not have an Aes Sedai advisor. She demanded your immediate return to Camelin as soon as you were found. I convinced her it would be safer for you to train here a little longer. She was ready to remove your two brothers from their training with the warders, too. They talked their way out of that themselves. I still do not know how. Elaine seemed to be looking inward, perhaps seeing Morghaes in all her anger. She shivered.
Gawain is my brother, she said absently. Galad is not.
Do not be childish, the Ammerlin told her. Sharing the same father makes Galad your brother too, whether or not you like him. I will not allow childishness out of you, girl. A measure of stupidity can be tolerated in a novice. It is not allowed in one of the accepted.
Yes, Mother, Elaine said glumly.
The Queen left a letter for you with Shiriam. Aside from giving you the rough side of her tongue, I believe she states her intention of bringing you home as soon as it is safe for you. She is sure that in a few more months at most you will be able to channel without risking killing yourself.
But I want to learn, Mother.
The iron had returned to Elaine's voice.
I want to be Aes Sedai.
The Ammerlin's smile was even grimmer than her last. As well that you do, child, because I have no intention of letting Morghaes have you. You have the potential to be stronger than any Aes Sedai in 1,000 years, and I will not let you go until you achieve the shawl as well as the ring. Not if I have to grind you into sausage to do it. I will not let you go. Do I make myself clear?
Yes, Mother.
Elaine sounded uneasy, and Egwene did not blame her. Caught between Morghaes and the White Tower, like a towel between two dogs, caught between the Queen of Andor and the Ammerlin's seat.
If Egwene had ever envied Elaine her wealth and the throne she would one day occupy, at that moment she surely did not. The Ammerlin said briskly, "Lyanna, take Elaine down to Shiriam's study. I have a few words yet to say to these other two, words I do not think they will enjoy hearing." Egwene exchanged startled looks with Nynaeve. For a moment, worry dissolved the tension between them. "What does she have to say to us and not to Elaine?" she wondered. "I do not care, so long as she does not try to stop me learning, but why not Elaine, too?" Elaine grimaced at the mention of the Mistress of Novices' study, but she drew herself up as Lyanna came to her side. "As you command, Mother," she said formally, lowering herself in a perfect curtsy, skirts sweeping wide. "So shall I obey." She followed Lyanna out with her head held high. Chapter 14. The Bite of the Thorns. The Ammerlin's seat did not speak at once. She walked to the tall, arched windows and looked out across the balcony at the garden below, hands clasped tightly behind her. Minutes went by before she spoke, still with her back to the two of them. "I have kept the worst of it from getting out. But how long will that last? The servants do not know of the stolen Turangrial, and they do not connect the deaths with Leandrin and the others leaving. It was not easy to manage that, gossip being what it is. They believe the deaths were the work of Dark Friends, and so they were. Rumors are reaching the city, too, that Dark Friends got into the tower, that they did murder. There was no way to stop that. It does our reputation no good, but at least it is better than the truth. At least none outside the tower and few inside know Aes Sedai were killed. Dark Friends in the White Tower. Faugh! I've spent my life denying that. I will not let them be here. I will hook them and gut them and hang them out in the sun to dry." Nynaeve gave Egwene an uncertain look, half as uncertain as Egwene felt, then took a deep breath. "Mother, are we to be punished more, beyond what you've already sentenced us to?" The Ammerlin looked over her shoulder at them. Her eyes were lost in shadow. "Punished more? You might well say that. Some will say I've given you a gift, raising you. Now feel the real bite of that rose's thorns." She strode briskly back to her chair and sat down, then seemed to lose her urgency again, or to gain uncertainty. To see the Ammerlin look uncertain made Egwene's stomach clench. The Ammerlin's seat was always sure, always serenely centered on her path. The Ammerlin was strength personified. For all her own raw power, the woman on the other side of the table had the knowledge and experience to wind her around a spindle. To see her suddenly wavering, like a girl who knew she had to dive headfirst into a pond, without any idea of how deep it was, or whether there were rocks or mud on the bottom, to see that chilled Egwene right to her core. What does she mean, the real bite of the thorns? Light, what does she mean to do to us? Fingering a carved black box on the table in front of her, the Ammerlin peered at it as if looking at something beyond. "It is a question of who I can trust," she said softly. "I should be able to trust Lyanna and Shiriam at least, but do I dare? Verin?" Her shoulders shook with a quick, silent laugh. "I already trust Verin with more than my life, but how far can I take it? Moiraine?" She was silent for a moment. "I have always believed I could trust Moiraine." Egwene shifted uneasily. How much did the Ammerlin know? It was not the kind of thing she could ask, not of the Ammerlin seat. "Do you know that a young man from my village, a man I used to think I'd marry one day, is the Dragon Reborn? Do you know two of your Aes Sedai are helping him?" At least she was sure the Ammerlin did not know she had dreamed of him last night, running from Moiraine. She thought she was sure. She kept silent. "What are you talking about?" Nynaeve demanded. The Ammerlin looked up at her, and she moderated her tone as she added, "Forgive me, Mother, but are we to be punished more? I do not understand this talk of trust. If you want my opinion, Moiraine is not to be trusted." "That is your opinion, is it?" the Ammerlin said. "A year out of your village and you think you know enough of the world to choose which Aes Sedai to trust and which not? A master sailor who's barely learned to hoist a sail." "She did not mean anything, Mother," Egwene said, but she knew Nynaeve meant exactly what she had said. She shot a warning glance at Nynaeve. Nynaeve gave her braid a sharp tug, but she kept her mouth shut. "Well, who is to say?" the Amyrlin mused. "Trust is as slippery as a basket of eels sometimes. The point is, you two are what I have to work with, thin reeds though you may be." Nynaeve's mouth tightened, though her voice stayed level. "Thin reeds, mother?" The Amyrlin went on as if she had not spoken. "Leandrin tried to stuff you head first into a weir, and it may well be she left because she learned you were returning and could unmask her, so I have to believe you aren't Black Aja." "I would rather eat scales and entrails," she muttered. "But I suppose I'll have to get used to saying that name." Egwene gaped in shock. "Black Aja? Us? Light?" But Nynaeve barked, "We certainly are not! How dare you say such a thing? How dare you even suggest it?"
"If you doubt me, child, go ahead," the Amyrlin said in a hard voice. "You may have an Aes Sedai's power sometimes, but you are not yet Aes Sedai, not by miles. Well, speak if you have more to say. I promise to leave you weeping for forgiveness. Thin reed? I'll break you like a reed. I've no patience left."
Nynaeve's mouth worked. Finally, though, she gave herself a shake and drew a calming breath. When she spoke, her voice still had an edge, but a small one.
"Forgive me, mother, but you should not. We would not do such a thing."
With a compressed smile, the Amyrlin leaned back in her chair. "So you can keep your temper when you want to. I had to know that." Egwene wondered how much of it had been a test. There was a tightness around the Amyrlin's eyes that suggested her patience might well be exhausted.
"I wish I could have found a way to raise you to the shawl, daughter. Verin says you are already as strong as any woman in the tower."
"The shawl?" Nynaeve gasped. "Aes Sedai? Me?" The Amyrlin gestured slightly as if tossing something away, but she looked regretful to lose it. "No point wishing for what can't be. I could hardly raise you to full sister and send you to scrub pots at the same time. And Verin also says you still cannot channel consciously unless you are furious. I was ready to sever you from the true source if you even looked like embracing Saidar. The final tests for the shawl require you to channel while maintaining utter calm under pressure. Extreme pressure. Even I cannot and would not set that requirement aside." Nynaeve seemed stunned. She was staring at the Amyrlin with her mouth hanging open.
"I don't understand, mother," Egwene said after a moment.
"I suppose you don't at that.
You are the only two in the tower I can be absolutely sure are not Black Aja." The Amyrlin's mouth still twisted around those words. "Leandrin and her 12 went, but did all of them go? Or did they leave some of their number behind like a stub in shallow water that you don't see till it puts a hole in your boat? It may be I'll not find that out until it is too late, but I will not let Leandrin and the others get away with what they did. Not the theft, and especially not the murders. No one kills my people and walks away unscathed. And I'll not let 13 trained Aes Sedai serve the shadow. I mean to find them and still them."
"I don't see what this has to do with us," Nynaeve said slowly.
She did not look as if she liked what she was thinking.
"Just this, child. You two are to be my hounds, hunting the Black Aja. No one will believe it of you. Not a pair of half-trained accepted I humiliated publicly."
"That is crazy!" Nynaeve's eyes had opened wide by the time the Amyrlin reached the words Black Aja, and her knuckles were white from her grip on her braid. She bit her words off and spat them. "They are all full Aes Sedai. Egwene hasn't even been raised to accepted yet. And you know I cannot channel enough to light a candle unless I am angry, not of my own free will. What chance would we have?"
Egwene nodded agreement. Her tongue had stuck to the roof of her mouth. "Hunt the Black Aja? I'd rather hunt a bear with a switch. She's just trying to scare us, to punish us more. She has to be."
If that was what the Amyrlin was trying, she was succeeding all too well. The Amyrlin was nodding, too.
"Every word you say is true.
but each of you is more than a match for Leandrin in sheer power, and she is the strongest of them. Yet they are trained, and you are not, and you, Nynaeve, do have limitations as yet. But when you don't have an oar, my child, any plank will do to paddle the boat ashore."
"But I would be useless," Egwene blurted. Her voice came out as a squeak, but she was too afraid to be ashamed. "She means it. Oh, light, she means it. Leandrin gave me to the Seanchan, and now she wants me to hunt 13 like her? My studies, my lessons, working in the kitchens, Anaya said I will surely want to continue testing me to see if I am a dreamer. I'll barely have time left over to sleep and eat. How can I hunt anything?"
"You will have to find the time," the Amarlin said, cool and serene once more, as if hunting the Black Aja were no more than sweeping a floor. "As one of the accepted, you choose your own studies within limits and the times for them, and the rules are a little easier for accepted. A little easier. They must be found, child." Egwene looked to Nynaeve, but what Nynaeve said was, "Why is Elaine not part of this? It can't be because you think she is Black Aja. Is it because she is daughter heir of Andor?" "A full net on the first cast, child. I would make her one of you if I could, but at the moment Morgaze gives me enough problems as it is. When I have her combed and curried and prodded back on the proper path, perhaps Elaine will join you. Perhaps then."
"Then leave Egwene out too," Nynaeve said. "She is barely old enough to be a woman. I will do your hunting for you."
Egwene made a sound of protest.
"I am a woman."
But the Amarlin spoke before her. "I am not setting you out as bait, child. If I had 100 of you, I would still not be happy. But there are only you two, so two I will have."
"Nynaeve," Egwene said, "I do not understand you. Do you mean you want to do this?"
"It isn't that I want to," Nynaeve said wearily. "But I'd rather hunt them than sit wondering if the Aes Sedai teaching me is really a dark friend. And whatever they are up to, I do not want to wait until they're ready to find out what it is." The decision Egwene came to twisted her stomach.
"Then I will do it too. I don't want to sit wondering and waiting any more than you do."
Nynaeve opened her mouth, and Egwene felt a flash of anger. It was such a relief after fear.
"And don't you dare say I'm too young again. At least I can channel when I want to, most of the time. I am not a little girl anymore, Nynaeve."
Nynaeve stood there, jerking on her braid and not saying a word. Finally, the stiffness drained out of her. "You are not, are you? I have said myself you are a woman, but I suppose I did not really believe it inside. Woman. Woman, I hope you realized you've climbed into a pickling cauldron with me, and the fire may be lit."
"I know it."
Egwene was proud that her voice hardly shook at all. The Amarlin smiled as if pleased, but there was something in her blue eyes that made Egwene suspect she had known what their decisions would be all along. For an instant she felt those puppeteer's strings on her arms and legs again.
"Verin,"
the Amarlin hesitated, then muttered half to herself, "If I must trust someone, it might as well be her. She knows as much as I already, and maybe more." Her voice strengthened. "Verin will give you all that is known of Leandrin and the others, and also a list of the Turangrial that were taken and what they will do. Those that we know. As for any of the Black Aja still in the tower, listen, watch, and be careful of your questions. Be like mice. If you have even a suspicion, report it to me. I will keep an eye on you myself. No one will think that strange, given what you're being punished for. You can make your reports when I look in on you. Remember, they have killed before. They could easily kill again."
"That's all very well," Nynaeve said. "But we will still be accepted, and it is Aes Sedai we're after. Any full sister can tell us to go about our business, or send us off to do her laundry, and we will have no choice but to obey. There are places accepted are not supposed to go, things we're not supposed to do. Light, if we were sure a sister was Black Aja, she could tell the guards to lock us in our rooms and keep us there, and they would do it. They certainly would not take the word of an accepted over that of an Aes Sedai."
"For the most part," the Amarlin said, "you must work within the limitations of the accepted. The idea is for no one to suspect you. But..." She opened the black box on her table, hesitated, and looked at the other two women as if still unsure she wanted to do this, then took out a number of stiff folded papers. Sorting through them carefully, she hesitated again, then chose out two. The remainder she shoved back into the box and handed those two to Egwene and Nynaeve. "Keep these well hidden. They are for an emergency only." Egwene unfolded her thick paper. It held writing in a neat round hand and was sealed at the bottom with the white flame of Tar Valon. "What the bearer does is done at my order and by my authority. Obey and keep silent at my command. Siwan Sanche, Watcher of the Seals, Flame of Tar Valon, the Armorland's Seat."
"I could do anything with this," Nynaeve said in a wondering voice. "Order the guards to march, command the warders." She gave a little laugh. "I could make a warder dance with this."
"Until I found out about it," the Armorland agreed dryly. "Unless you had a very convincing reason, I'd make you wish Leandrin had caught you."
"I didn't mean to do any of that," Nynaeve said hastily. "I just meant that it gives more authority than I had imagined."
"You may need every shred of it. But just you remember, child, a dark friend won't heed that any more than a white cloak would. They would both likely kill you just for having it. If that paper is a shield, well, paper shields are flimsy, and this one may have a target painted on it."
"Yes, mother," Egwene and Nynaeve said together.
Egwene folded her paper up and tucked it into her belt pouch, resolving not to take it out again unless she absolutely had to. "And how will I know when that is?"
"What about Matt?" Nynaeve asked.
"He's very sick, mother, and he does not have much time left." "I will send word to you," the Armorland said curtly.
"But, mother, I will send word to you. Now off with you, children. The hope of the tower rests in your hands. Go to your rooms and get some rest. Remember you have appointments with Shiriam and with the Potts."
Chapter 15. The Grey Man. Outside the Armorland Seat's study, Egwene and Nynaeve found the corridors empty except for an occasional serving woman hurrying about her duties on soft-slippered feet. Egwene was grateful for their presence. The halls suddenly seemed like caverns, for all the tapestries and stonework, dangerous caverns. Nynaeve strode along purposefully, tugging at her braid fitfully again, and Egwene hurried to keep up. She did not want to be left alone.
"If the Black Aja is still here, Nynaeve, and if they even suspect what we're doing, I hope you didn't mean what you said about acting as if we are already bound by the Three Oaths. I don't intend to let them kill me, not if I can stop it by channeling."
"If any of them are still here, Egwene, they will know what we are doing as soon as they see us."
Despite what she was saying, Nynaeve sounded preoccupied.
"Or at least they will see us as a threat, and that's much the same thing as far as what they will do."
"How will they see us as a threat? Nobody is threatened by someone they can order about. Nobody is threatened by someone who has to scrub pots and turn the spits 3 times a day. That's why the Armorland is putting us to work in the kitchens. Part of the reason, anyway."
"Perhaps the Armorland did not think it through," Nynaeve said absently. "Or perhaps she did, and means something different for us than what she claims. Think, Egwene. Leandrin would not have tried to put us out of the way unless she thought we were a threat to her. I can't imagine how or to what, but I cannot see how it could have changed either. If there are any Black Aja still here, they will surely see us the same way, whether they suspect what we're doing or not."
Egwene swallowed. "I hadn't thought of that. Light, I wish I were invisible. Nynaeve, if they are still after us, I will risk being stilled before I let dark friends kill me, or maybe worse. And I won't believe you will let them take you either, no matter what you told the Armorland."
"I meant it."
For a moment, Nynaeve seemed to rouse from her thoughts. Her steps slowed. A pale-haired novice carrying a tray rushed past.
"I meant every word, Egwene," Nynaeve went on when the novice was out of hearing. "There are other ways to defend ourselves. If there were not, Aes Sedai would be killed every time they left the tower. We just have to reason those ways out and use them."
"I know several ways already, and so do you."
"They are dangerous."
Egwene opened her mouth to say they were only dangerous to whoever attacked her, but Nynaeve plowed on over her.
"You can come to like them too much. When I let out my anger at those white cloaks this morning, it felt too good. It is too dangerous." She shivered and quickened her pace again, and Egwene had to step lively to catch up.
"You sound like Shiriam. You never have before. You have pushed every limit they've put on you. Why would you accept limits now, when we might have to ignore them to stay alive?"
"What good if it ends with us being put out of the tower? Stilled or not, what good then?" Nynaeve's voice dropped as if she were speaking to herself. "I can do it. I must if I'm to stay here long enough to learn, and I must learn if I'm to—" Suddenly she seemed to realize she was speaking aloud. She shot a hard look at Egwene, and her voice firmed. "Let me think. Please, be quiet and let me think." Egwene held her tongue, but inside she bubbled with unasked questions. What special reason did Nynaeve have for wanting to learn more of what the White Tower could teach? What was it she wanted to do? Why was Nynaeve keeping it secret from her? Secrets. We've learned to keep too many secrets since coming to the Tower. The Ammerlin is keeping secrets from us, too. Light, what is she going to do about Matt? Nynaeve accompanied her all the way back to the novices' quarters, not turning aside to the accepted's quarters. The galleries were still empty, and they met no one as they climbed the spiraling ramps. As they came up on Elaine's room, Nynaeve stopped, knocked once, and immediately opened the door and put her head inside. Then she was letting the white door swing shut and striding toward the next, Egwene's room. "She isn't here yet," she said. "I need to talk to both of you." Egwene caught her shoulders and pulled her to an abrupt halt. "What?" Something tugged at her hair, stung her ear. A black blur streaked in front of her face to clang against the wall, and in the next breath Nynaeve was bearing her to the gallery floor, behind the railing. Wide-eyed and sprawling, Egwene stared at what lay on the stone in front of her door, where it had fallen. A bolt from a crossbow. A few dark strands from her hair were tangled in the four heavy prongs meant for punching through armor. She raised a trembling hand to touch her ear, to touch the tiniest nick, damp with a bead of blood. If I had not stopped just then, if I hadn't, the quarrel would have gone right through her head and would probably have killed Nynaeve, too. "Blood and ashes," she gasped. "Blood and bloody ashes." "Watch your language," Nynaeve admonished, but her heart was not in it. She lay peering between the white stone balusters toward the far side of the galleries. A glow surrounded her, to Egwene's eyes. She had embraced Sayidar. Hastily, Egwene tried to reach out for the One Power too, but at first, haste defeated her. Haste and images that kept intruding on the emptiness, images of her head being ripped apart like a rotten melon by a heavy quarrel that went on to bury itself in Nynaeve. She took a deep breath and tried again, and finally the rose floated in nothingness, open to the true source, and the power filled her. She rolled onto her stomach to peer through the railing beside Nynaeve. "Do you see anything? Do you see him? I'll put a lightning bolt through him." She could feel it building, pressing on her to loose it. "It is a man, isn't it?" She could not imagine a man coming into the novices' quarters, but it was impossible to picture a woman carrying a crossbow through the tower. "I don't know." Quiet anger filled Nynaeve's voice. Her anger was always at its worst when she grew quiet with it. "I thought I saw, yes, there." Egwene felt the power pulse in the other woman, and then Nynaeve was unhurriedly getting to her feet, brushing at her dress as if there were nothing more to worry about. Egwene stared at her. "What? What did you do, Nynaeve?" "Of the five powers," Nynaeve said in a lecturing tone, faintly mocking. "Air, sometimes called wind, is thought by many to be of the least use. This is far from true." She finished with a tight laugh. "I told you there were other ways to defend ourselves. I used air, to hold him with air. If it is a he, I could not see him clearly. A trick the Ammerlin showed me once, though I doubt she expected me to see how it was done. Well, are you going to lie there all day?" Egwene scrambled up to hurry after her around the gallery. Before long, a man did come into sight around the curve, dressed in plain brown breeches and coat. He stood facing the other way, balanced on the ball of one foot, with the other hanging in mid-air as if he had been caught in the middle of running. The man would feel as if he were buried in thick jelly, yet it was nothing but air stiffened around him. Egwene remembered the Ammerlin's trick, too, but she did not think she could duplicate it. Nynaeve only had to see a thing done once to know how to do it herself. When she could manage to channel at all, of course. They came closer, and Egwene's melding with the power vanished in shock. The hilt of a dagger stood out from the man's chest. His face sagged, and death had already filmed his half-closed eyes. He crumpled to the gallery floor as Nynaeve loosed the trap that had held him. He was an average-appearing man of average height and average build, with features so ordinary Egwene did not think she would have noticed him in a group of three. She only studied him a moment, though, before realizing that something was missing, a crossbow. She gave a start and looked about wildly. There had to be another one, Nynaeve. Somebody took the crossbow, and somebody stabbed him. He could be out there, ready to shoot at us again.
Calm yourself, Nynaeve said, but she peered both ways along the gallery, jerking at her braid. Just be calm and we will figure out what to— Her words cut off at the sound of steps on the ramp leading up to their level.
Egwene's heart pounded, seemingly in her throat. Eyes fastened on the head of the ramp, she desperately strove to touch Sidar again, but for her that required calm, and her heartbeats shattered calm. Shiryam Sedai stopped at the top of the ramp, frowning at what she saw.
What in the name of the light has happened here?
She hurried forward, her serenity gone for once.
We found him, Nynaeve said as the mistress of novices knelt beside the corpse.
Shiryam put a hand to the man's chest and jerked it back twice as fast, hissing. Steeling herself visibly, she touched him again and maintained the touch longer.
Dead, she muttered,
as dead as it is possible to be and more. When she straightened, she pulled a handkerchief from her sleeve and wiped her fingers.
You found him? Here? Like this?
Egwene nodded, sure that if she spoke, Shiryam would hear the lie in her voice.
We did, Nynaeve said firmly.
Shiryam shook her head.
A man, a dead man at that, in the novice's quarters would be scandal enough, but this...
What makes him different? Nynaeve asked. And how could he be more than dead?
Shiryam took a deep breath and gave them each a searching look. He is one of the soulless, a gray man.
Absently, she wiped her fingers again, her eyes going back to the body, worried eyes.
The soulless? Egwene said, a tremor in her voice, at the same time that Nynaeve said, a gray man.
Shiryam glanced at them, a look as penetrating as it was brief.
Not a part of your studies yet, but you seem to have gone beyond the rules in a great many ways. And considering you found this,
she gestured to the corpse.
The soulless, the gray men, give up their souls to serve the Dark One as assassins. They are not really alive after that. Not quite dead, but not truly alive. And despite the name, some gray men are women. A very few. Even among dark friends, only a handful of women are stupid enough to make that sacrifice. You can look right at them and hardly notice them until it is too late. He was as much as dead while he walked. Now only my eyes tell me that what is lying there ever lived at all.
She gave them another long look.
No gray man has dared enter Tar Valon since the Trolloc Wars.
What will you do? Egwene asked.
Shiryam's brows rose, and she quickly added, If I may ask, Shiryam Sedai. The Aes Sedai hesitated.
I suppose you may, since you had the bad luck to find him. It will be up to the Ammerlin seat, but with everything that has happened, I believe she will want to keep this as quiet as is possible. We do not need more rumors. You will speak of this to none but me, or to the Ammerlin, should she mention it first.
Yes, Aes Sedai, Egwene said fervently.
Nynaeve's voice was cooler. Shiryam appeared to take their obedience for granted. She gave no sign of having heard them. Her attention was all on the dead man, the gray man, the soulless. There will be no hiding the fact that a man was killed here. The glow of the one power suddenly surrounded her, and just as abruptly, a long, low dome covered the body on the floor, grayish and so opaque that it was hard to see there was a body under it. But this will keep anyone else from touching him who can discover his nature. I must have this removed before the novices come back. Her tilted green eyes regarded them as if she had just remembered their presence.
You two go now. To your room, I think, Nynaeve.
Considering what you are already facing, if it became known you were involved in this, even on the edge of it, go. Egwene curtsied and tugged at Nynaeve's sleeve, but Nynaeve said, Why did you come up here, Shiryam Sedai? For a moment Shiryam looked startled, but on the instant she frowned. Fists on her hips, she regarded Nynaeve with all the firmness of her office. Does the Mistress of Novices now need an excuse for coming to the Novices' quarters, accepted? She said softly. Do accepted now question Aes Sedai? The Ammerlin means to make something of you two, but whether she does or not, I will teach you manners at least. Now the pair of you go, before I haul you down to my study, and not for the appointment the Ammerlin seat has already set for you. A sudden thought came to Egwene. Forgive me, Shiryam Sedai, she said quickly, but I must fetch my cloak. I feel cold. She rushed away around the gallery before the Aes Sedai could speak. If Shiryam found that crossbow bolt in front of her door, there would be too many questions. No pretending they had only found the man, that he had no connection to her then. But when she reached the door to her room, the heavy bolt was gone. Only the jagged chip in the stone beside the door said it had ever been there. Egwene's skin crawled. How could anyone take it without one of us seeing? Another gray man. She had embraced Saidar before she knew it, only the sweet flow of the power inside her telling her what she had done. Even so, it was one of the hardest things she had ever done, opening that door and going into her room. There was no one there. She snatched the white cloak off its peg and ran out anyway, and she did not release Saidar until she was halfway back to the others. Something more had passed between the women while she was gone. Nynaeve was attempting to appear meek, and succeeding only in looking as if she had a sour stomach. Shiryam had her fists on her hips, and was tapping her foot irritably, and the stare she was giving Nynaeve, like green millstones ready to start grinding barley flour, took in Egwene equally. Forgive me, Shiryam Sedai, she said hastily, dropping a curtsy and settling her cloak on her shoulders at the same time. This finding a dead man, a gray man, it made me cold. If we may go now? At Shiryam's tight nod of dismissal, Nynaeve made a bare curtsy. Egwene seized her arm and hustled her away. Are you trying to make more trouble for us? She demanded when they were two levels down, and safely out of earshot of Shiryam, she hoped. What else did you say to her to make her glare like that? More questions, I suppose? I hope you learned something worth making her mad at us. She would not say anything, Nynaeve muttered. We must ask questions if we are to do any good, Egwene. We will have to take a few chances, or we'll never learn anything. Egwene sighed. Well, be a little more circumspect. From the set of Nynaeve's face, the other woman had no intention of going easy or avoiding risks. Egwene sighed again. The crossbow bolt was gone, Nynaeve. It must have been another gray man who took it. So that is why you... Light! Nynaeve frowned and gave a sharp tug to her braid. After a time, Egwene said, What was that she did to cover the body? She did not want to think of it as a gray man. That reminded her there was another one out there. She did not want to think of anything at all right then. Air, Nynaeve replied. She used air. A neat trick, and I think I see how to make something useful with it. The use of the one power was divided into the five powers, earth, air, fire, water, and spirit. Different talents required different combinations of the five powers. I don't understand some of the ways the five powers are combined. Take healing. I can see why it requires spirit and maybe air, but why water? Nynaeve rounded on her. What are you babbling about? Have you forgotten what we're doing? She looked around. They had reached the accepted's quarters, a stack of galleries lower than the novices' quarters, surrounding a garden rather than a court. There was no one in sight except for another accepted, hurrying along on another level, but she lowered her voice. Have you forgotten the Black Aja? I'm trying to forget it, Egwene said fiercely. For a little while, anyway. I am trying to forget that we just left a dead man. I'm trying to forget that he almost killed me, and that he has a companion who might try it again. She touched her ear. The drop of blood had dried, but the nick still hurt. We are lucky we aren't both dead right now. Nynaeve's face softened, but when she spoke, her voice held something of the time when she had been the wisdom of Emmons Field, saying words that had to be said for someone's own good. Remember that body, Egwene. Remember that he tried to kill you, kill us. Remember the Black Adja. Remember them all the time. Because if you forget, just once, the next time it may be you lying dead.
I know, Egwene sighed, but I do not have to like it.
Did you notice what Shiriam did not mention?
No, what?
She never wondered who stabbed him. Now come on. My room is just down here and you can put your feet up while we talk. Chapter 16. Hunters 3. Nynaeve's room was considerably larger than the novice rooms. She had a real bed, not one built into the wall, two ladderback armchairs instead of a stool, and a wardrobe for her clothes. The furnishings were all plain, suitable for a middling successful farmer's house, but compared to the novices, the accepted lived in luxury. There was even a small rug, woven with scrolls of yellow and red on blue. The room was not empty when Egwene and Nynaeve entered. Elaine stood in front of the fireplace, arms crossed beneath her breasts and eyes red at least partly from anger. Two tall young men sprawled in the chairs, all arms and legs. One, with his dark green coat undone to show a snowy shirt, shared Elaine's blue eyes and red-gold hair, and his grinning face marked him plainly as her brother. The other, Nynaeve's age and with his gray coat neatly buttoned, was slender and dark of hair and eye. He rose, all sure confidence and lithely muscled grace, when Egwene and Nynaeve came in. He was, Egwene thought, not for the first time, the most handsome man she had ever seen. His name was Galad.
"It is good to see you again," he said, taking her hand. "I have worried much over you. We have worried much."
Her pulse quickened, and she took back her hand before he should feel it.
"Thank you, Galad," he murmured. "Light, but he's beautiful."
She told herself to stop thinking that way. It was not easy. She found herself smoothing her dress, wishing he were seeing her in silk instead of this plain white wool, perhaps even one of those Domani dresses Min had told her of, the ones that clung and seemed so thin you thought they must be transparent even though they were not. She flushed furiously and banished the image from her mind, willed him to look away from her face. It did not help that half the women in the tower, from scullery maids to Aes Sedai themselves, looked at him as if they had the same thoughts. It did not help that his smile seemed for her alone. In fact, his smile made it worse. "Light, if he even suspected what I was thinking, I'd die." The golden-haired young man leaned forward in his chair. "The question is, where have you been? Elaine dodges my questions as if she has a pocket full of figs and doesn't want me to have any."
"I have told you, Gawain," Elaine said in a tight voice. "It is none of your affair. I came here," she added to Nynaeve, "because I did not want to be alone. They saw me and followed. They would not take no for an answer."
"Wouldn't they?" Nynaeve said flatly.
"But it is our affair, sister," Galad said. "Your safety is very much our affair."
He looked at Egwene and she felt her heart jump.
"The safety of all of you is very important to me, to us."
"I am not your sister," Elaine snapped.
"If you want company," Gawain told Elaine with a smile, "we can do as well as any. And after what we went through just to be here, we deserve some explanation of where you've been. I would rather let Galad thump me all over the practice yard all day than face Mother again for a single minute. I'd rather have Cullen mad at me."
Cullen was master of arms and kept a tight discipline among the young men who came to train at the White Tower, whether they aspired to become warders or just to learn from them.
"Deny the connection if you will," Galad told Elaine gravely, "but it is still there, and Mother put your safety in our hands."
Gawain grimaced.
"She'll have our hides, Elaine, if anything happens to you. We had to talk fast, or she'd have hauled us back home with her. I have never heard of a queen sending her own sons to the headsman, but Mother sounded ready to make an exception if we don't bring you home safely."
"I am sure," Elaine said, "that your fast talk was all for me. None of it was meant to let you stay here studying with the warders."
Gawain's face reddened.
"Your safety was our first concern."
Galad sounded as if he meant it, and Egwene was sure he did.
We managed to convince Mother that if you did return here, you would need someone to look after you.
Look after me? Elaine exclaimed, but Galad went on smoothly.
The White Tower has become a dangerous place. There have been deaths, murders, with no real explanations. Even some Aes Sedai have been killed, though they have tried to keep that quiet. And I have heard rumors of the Black Aja, spoken in the tower itself. By Mother's command, when it is safe for you to leave your training, we are to return you to Camelin. For answer, Elaine lifted her chin and half turned away from him. Gawain ran a hand through his hair in frustration.
Light Nynaeve, Galad and I are not villains. All we want to do is help. We would do it anyway, but Mother commanded it, so there's no chance of you talking us out of it.
Morghese's commands carry no weight in Tar Valon, Nynaeve said in a level voice. As for your offer of help, I will remember it. Should we need help, you will be among the first to hear of it. For now, I wish you to leave. She gestured pointedly to the door, but he ignored her.
That is all very well, but Mother will want to know Elaine has come back, and why she ran off without a word, and what she was doing these months. Light, Elaine, the whole tower was in a turmoil. Mother was half crazed with fear. I thought she'd tear the tower down with her bare hands.
Elaine's face took on a measure of guilt, and Gawain pressed his advantage.
You owe her that much, Elaine. You owe me that much. Burn me, you're being as stubborn as stone. You've been gone for months, and all I know about it is that you've run afoul of Shiriam, and the only reasons I know that much are because you've been crying and you won't sit down.
Elaine's indignant stare said he had squandered whatever momentary advantage he might have had.
Enough, Nynaeve said.
Galad and Gawain opened their mouths. She raised her voice.
I said enough.
She glared at them until it was clear their silence would hold, then went on.
Elaine owes the two of you nothing. Since she chooses to tell you nothing, that is that. Now this is my room, not the common room of an inn, and I want you out of it.
But Elaine, Gawain began at the same time that Galad said, we only want... Nynaeve spoke loudly enough to drown them out. I doubt you asked permission to enter the accepted's quarters. They stared at her, looking surprised.
I thought not. You will be out of my room, out of my sight, before I count three, or I will write a note to the Master of Arms about this. Cúilín Gaiden has a much stronger arm than Shiriam Sedai, and you may be assured that I will be there to see he makes a proper job of it.
Nynaeve, you wouldn't, Gawain began worriedly, but Galad motioned him to silence and stepped closer to Nynaeve. Her face kept its stern expression, but she unconsciously smoothed the front of her dress as he smiled down at her.
Egwene was not surprised. She did not think she had met a woman outside the Red Aja who would not be affected by Galad's smile.
I apologize, Nynaeve, for our forcing ourselves on you unwanted, he said smoothly. We will go, of course. But remember that we are here if you need us. And whatever caused you to run away, we can help with that as well.
Nynaeve returned his smile.
One, she said.
Galad blinked, his smile fading. Calmly he turned to Egwene. Gawain got up and started for the door.
Egwene, Galad said, you know that you especially can call on me at any time for anything. I hope you know that.
Two, Nynaeve said.
Galad gave her an irritated look. We will talk again, he told Egwene, bowing over her hand. With a last smile, he took an unhurried step toward the door.
Thrrr!
Gawain darted through the door, and even Galad's graceful stride quickened markedly.
Ree!
Nynaeve finished, as the door banged shut behind them. Elaine clapped her hands delightedly.
Oh, well done, she said. Very well done. I did not even know men were forbidden the accepted's quarters, too.
They aren't, Nynaeve said dryly. But those louts did not know it either.
Elaine clapped her hands again and laughed.
I'd have let them just leave, Nynaeve added, if Galad had not made such a show of his taking his time about it. That young man has too fair a face for his own good.
Egwene almost laughed at that. Galad was no more than a year younger than Nynaeve, if that, and Nynaeve was straightening her dress again.
Galad, Elaine sniffed. He'll bother us again, and I do not know whether your trick will work more than once. He does what he sees as right, no matter who it hurts.
even himself. "Then I will think of something else," Nynaeve said. "We can't afford to have them looking over our shoulders all the time. Elaine, if you wish, I can make a salve that will soothe you." Elaine shook her head, then lay down across the bed with her chin in her hands. "If Shiriam found out, we would no doubt both have yet another visit to her study to look forward to. You have not said very much, Egwene. Cat got your tongue?" Her expression became grimmer. "Or perhaps Galad has." Egwene blushed in spite of herself. "I simply did not choose to argue with them," she said in as dignified a tone as she could manage. "Of course," Elaine said grudgingly, "I will admit that Galad is good-looking. But he is horrid, too. He always does right as he sees it. I know that does not sound horrid, but it is. He has never disobeyed Mother, not in the smallest thing that I know of. He will not tell a lie, even a small one, or break a rule. If he turns you in for breaking one, there isn't the slightest spite in it. He seems sad you could not live up to his standards, if anything, but that doesn't change the fact that he will turn you in." "That sounds uncomfortable," Egwene said carefully, "but not horrid. I cannot imagine Galad doing anything horrid." Elaine shook her head, as if in disbelief that Egwene found it so hard to see what was clear to her. "If you want to pay attention to someone, try Gawain. He is nice enough most of the time, and he's besotted with you." "Gawain? He has never looked at me twice." "Of course not, you fool, the way you stare at Galad until your eyes look ready to fall out of your face." Egwene's cheeks felt hot, but she was afraid it might well be true. "Galad saved his life when Gawain was a child," Elaine went on. "Gawain will never admit he is interested in a woman if Galad is interested in her, but I've heard him talk about you, and I know. He never could hide things from me." "That is nice to know," Egwene said, then laughed at Elaine's grin. "Perhaps I can get him to say some of those things to me instead of you." "You could choose Green, Aja, you know. Green sisters sometimes marry. Gawain truly is besotted, and you would be good for him. Besides, I would like to have you for a sister." "If you two are finished with girlish chatter," Nynaeve cut in, "there are important matters to talk about." "Yes," Elaine said. "Such as what the Ammerlin Seat had to say to you after I left." "I would rather not talk about that," Egwene said awkwardly. She did not like lying to Elaine. She did not say anything that was pleasant. Elaine gave a sniff of disbelief. "Most people think I get off easier than the others because I am daughter-heir of Andor. The truth is that if anything, I catch it harder than the rest because I'm daughter-heir. Neither of you did anything I did not, and if the Ammerlin had harsh words for you, she would have twice as harsh for me. Now, what did she say?" "You must keep this just between us three," Nynaeve said. "The Black Aja—" "Nynaeve!" Egwene exclaimed. "The Ammerlin said Elaine was to be left out of it." "The Black Aja!" Elaine almost shouted, scrambling up to kneel in the middle of the bed. "You cannot leave me out after telling me this much. I won't be left out." "I never meant for you to be," Nynaeve assured her. Egwene could only stare at her in amazement. "Egwene, it was you and I who Leandrin saw as a threat. It was you and I who were just nearly killed." "Nearly killed?" Elaine whispered. "Perhaps because we are still a threat, and perhaps because they already know that we were closeted alone with the Ammerlin, and even what she told us. We need someone with us who they do not know about, and if she isn't known to the Ammerlin either, so much the better. I'm not sure we can trust the Ammerlin much further than the Black Aja. She means to use us for her own ends. I mean to see she doesn't use us up. Can you understand that?" Egwene nodded reluctantly. "Just the same," she said, "it will be dangerous, Elaine. As dangerous as anything we faced in Falma. Maybe more so. You do not have to be part of it this time." "I know that," Elaine said quietly. She paused, then went on. "When Andor goes to war, the First Prince of the Sword commands the army, but the Queen rides with them too. 700 years ago, at the Battle of Qualen Den, the Andor men were being routed when Queen Modrilaine rode, alone and unarmed, carrying the Lion Banner into the midst of the Tyran army. The Andor men rallied and attacked once more to save her and won the battle. That is the kind of courage expected of the Queen of Andor. If I have not learned to control my fear yet, I must before I take my mother's place on the Lion Throne. Suddenly her somber mood vanished in a giggle. Besides, do you think I would pass up an adventure so I could scrub pots?
You will do that anyway, Nynaeve told her, and hope that everyone thinks that is all you are doing. Now listen carefully.
Elaine listened, and her mouth slowly dropped open as Nynaeve unfolded what the Armorland Seat had told them, and the task she had laid on them, and the attempt on their lives. She shivered over the Grey Man and read the document the Armorland had given Nynaeve with a look of wonder, then returned it, murmuring, "I wish I could have that when I face Mother next." By the time Nynaeve finished, though, her face was a picture of indignation.
Why, that's like being told to go up in the hills and find lions, only you do not know whether there are any lions, but if there are, they may be hunting you, and they may be disguised as bushes. Oh, and if you find any lions, try not to let them eat you before you can tell where they are.
If you are afraid, Nynaeve said, you can still stand aside. It will be too late once you've begun. Elaine tossed her head back.
Of course I am afraid. I'm not a fool. But not afraid enough to quit before I have even started.
There is something else, too, Nynaeve said. I'm afraid the Armorland may mean to let Matt die.
But an Aes Sedai is supposed to heal anyone who asks.
The daughter heir seemed caught between indignation and disbelief.
Why would she let Matt die? I cannot believe it. I will not.
Nor can I, Egwene gasped. She could not have meant that. The Armorland couldn't let him die.
All the way here, Varin said that the Armorland would see he was healed.
Nynaeve shook her head.
Varin said the Armorland would see to him. That is not the same thing. And the Armorland avoided saying yes or no when I asked her. Maybe she has not made her mind up.
But why?
Elaine asked.
Because the White Tower does what it does for its own reasons.
Nynaeve's voice made Egwene shiver.
I do not know why. Whether they help Matt live or let him die depends on what serves their ends. None of the three oaths say they have to heal him. Matt is just a tool in the Armorland's eyes. So are we. She will use us to hunt the Black Adja, but if you break a tool so it cannot be fixed, you don't weep over it. You just get another one. Both of you had best remember that.
What are we going to do about him?
Egwene asked.
What can we do?
Nynaeve went to her wardrobe and rummaged in the back of it. When she came out, she had a striped cloth bag of herbs. With my medicines and luck, perhaps I can heal him myself.
Varin could not, Elaine said. Moiraine and Varin together could not, and Moiraine had an Angrial.
Nynaeve, if you draw too much of the one power, you could burn yourself to a cinder. Or just still yourself if you are lucky, if you can call that luck.
Nynaeve shrugged. They keep telling me I have the potential to be the most powerful Aes Sedai in 1,000 years. Perhaps it is time to find out whether they are right. She gave a tug to her braid. It was plain that however brave Nynaeve's words, she was afraid. But she won't let Matt die, even if it means risking death herself.
They keep saying we're all three so powerful, or will be. Maybe if we all try together, we can divide the flow among us.
We have never tried working together, Nynaeve said slowly. I am not sure I know how to combine our abilities. Trying could be almost as dangerous as drawing too much of the power.
Oh, if we are going to do it, Elaine said, climbing off the bed, let's do it. The longer we talk of it, the more frightened I will become. Matt is in the guest rooms. I do not know which one, but Shiriam told me that much.
As if to put period to her words, the door banged open and an Aes Sedai entered as though it were her room, and they the interlopers. Egwene made her curtsy deep to hide the dismay on her face. Chapter 17. The Red Sister. Elaida was a handsome woman rather than beautiful, and the sternness on her face added maturity to her ageless Aes Sedai features. She did not look old, yet Egwene could never imagine Elaida as having been young. Except for the most formal occasions, few Aes Sedai wore the vine-embroidered shawl with the white teardrop flame of Tar Valon, large on the wearer's back, but Elaida wore hers, the long red fringe announcing her Adja. Red slashed her dress of cream-colored silk, too, and red slippers peeked under the edge of her skirts as she moved into the room. Her dark eyes watched them as a bird's eyes watched worms.
"So all of you are together. Somehow that does not surprise me."
Her voice made no more pretense than her bearing did. She was a woman of power, and ready to wield it if she decided it was necessary, a woman who knew more than those she spoke to. It was much the same for a queen as for a novice.